Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to today's Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Nice to be back in the saddle again. Ted, how you doing?
Good. Welcome back, sir. Did you have a good break?
It was very nice. Thank you. Yes, we. I'm kind of a fan of mountains.
Yeah.
Not too many of those in the Midwest where we broadcast from the University of Northwestern on the campus at the Mel Johnson Media Center. So, yeah, we went to some high country.
Nice. So, you just feel a little closer to God when you're taking in His beauty like that, right?
No, it takes your breath away, or it could be the altitude, but I'm probably a little bit of both, actually. So, and looking forward to talking about a couple of great things that are going on here across the Faith Radio land. I want to just say a special welcome to those listening in the Madison area and Madison, Wisconsin, and the Faith 1190. If you've not checked it out yet, just know that you can find Faith Radio available now on a new FM translator at 104.7 FM. And all the same great programming that you hear or maybe couldn't hear as well on Faith 1190, now available at 104.7. Pretty excited about that.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's a great thing. And speaking of radio, just want to mention that our ministry spotlight partner this month is FEBC. Far East Broadcasting Company broadcasts in 40 countries and over 100 languages. And listeners all over the world are asking for radios because they want to know more about the gospel. And we have the opportunity to partner with them this month. And so we're going to just ask you to go on our website and find out more and be a part of what God is doing through FEBC.
I love their motto, Christ to the World by Radio.
Yeah.
It's
and
great stuff.
What they're doing is they're actually they're supplying radios to people in many areas where maybe the average income is like $3 a month. And so they couldn't afford, you know, $20 or so for a radio. So for $30, every $30 you give provides one radio, and every radio has the power to reach, you know, 25 or more people with the gospel. And you can learn more at givearadio.org.
Givearadio.org. And is that linked up at our site,
yeah,
too?
It's on our
MyFaithRadio.com,
site as well. So,
yeah.
So check that out. All right. All right. We're going to talk about principles. This is kind of a important biblical principle, maybe a life principle, and we're going to make sure we understand it clearly, because maybe we could, you know, get the concept wrong. But we're going to talk today with Rusty George, who's lead pastor of Real Life Church in Valencia, California, and he grew up in Oklahoma. Wichita, I think, area, and was inspired by his youth pastor to study the Bible. So attended Ozark Christian College in Joplin, Missouri, and he met his wife, Lori, there, and, you know, was pursuing youth pastorate, and God called him to serve in bigger and bigger opportunities. Ended up taking the call to Real Life Church in Southern California. This is Southern California. It's with the Six Flags area, I think. Isn't that, Rusty? Isn't that your claim to fame? Or Magic Mountain? Is that what it is?
Magic Mountain. That's right.
Yeah. So if, you know, our people, we can probably talk about that, you know, the rest of the hour. But
exactly. The original Wally World.
So I don't know if that's not to diminish the credibility of our guest in any way, just to kind of, you know, place him where he is. Rusty is with us today. Rusty's written a new book called When You, Then God. The subtitle is Seven Things God is Waiting to Do in Your Life. And Rusty's seen this work out in his life and in his church. The church has grown significantly from a meeting in a movie theater to a multi-campus church. More than 6,000 people gather every weekend. We're honored to have him with us. And one of the premises, I guess, or things that come up when we hear the when you, then God, the idea that, well, is there something sort of strings attached in terms of what God expects from us or what he'll do for us? Let's start with that.
Well, that's a great question, and one that I think most of us spend our entire lives wrestling with. And there's a big distinction between unconditional love but conditional blessings. And I think that's where we get things kind of messed up in our minds. Some of us can kind of grow up with more of a conditional love mindset, and some of us can kind of drift into unconditional blessings mindset, where we just assume and expect God to do everything for us without our partnership with Him. I always think about this story I heard a pastor tell one time of a woman who came to his church, and she was pretty far from God, and she decided to kind of jump in and gave her life over to Christ. And a few months later, he saw her, and she was back to some of her old habits again and really wasn't plugged in anymore and wasn't really doing much for the kingdom. And he said, "Well, how's it going?" And she said, "Well, to be honest with you, I got a little bit of buyer's remorse." And he said, "Well, why is that?" And she said, "Well, I gave my life to Christ, and nothing's changed. My life is still a mess. I still have all these problems. I'm still stuck in all these old habits." And he looked at her and he said, "You know, God's got a wonderful plan for your life, but you're going to have to participate." And I thought that was so wise, and I see that time and time again in Christians' lives who really expect God to give them all of these blessings that they read about in the Bible or they hear other people talk about, but they don't understand that there is a partnership with Him in the process. The flip side of this is we begin to think that God's love for us is based upon our doing those things, and we begin to assume that based upon our good works, then suddenly we'll be able to earn God's love. But the Bible makes it pretty clear that's not possible at all. And Ephesians certainly walks us through that. It's by our faith that we're saved, not by good works. So there's a clear distinction between the two, but both are equally needed. And I felt in my own life it was a lot of battling back and forth between the faulty view of looking at that versus the correct way.
You know, what is it about the idea of God loving us unconditionally that's so difficult to accept? It's maybe because we don't see that in any other aspect of our lives, perhaps.
I think it's so foreign for us because we don't do that ourselves. It's hard for us to conceptually believe that there is a God who can forgive us and truly forget, because we don't. We hold on to things. We don't let go of things. So we just assume God does as well. And for those of us that our personality is kind of driven to be a little bit more, type A or achiever driven, or maybe you're a firstborn, a natural leader, or you're a people pleaser, you just constantly associate people's approval or your own personal works, that kind of tie into what God thinks about you. And so if you're doing well, you begin to think, well, God must be pleased with me. If you're doing poorly, well, God must be mad at me. But understanding that God actually loves us unconditionally as His kids and has the ability to even not just forgive but forget our sins is something that's so difficult for us because we just don't practice that ourselves.
Yeah, the book we're referencing is called When You, Then God, Seven Things God is Waiting to Do in Your Life. And you open up the book by talking about the thou shalt nots with the never minds. It's kind of a good way to, we sort of touched on it, but maybe just expand on that a little bit more. What are we talking about, the thou shalt nots with the never minds?
Right. I think for many of us, myself included, we grew up in a culture where it was filled with thou shalt nots. And there were the thou shalt nots, and that started with the Ten Commandments. But then there were some extras we threw in there as well. And I grew up in a church that certainly had a lot of extras from that thou shalt not dance, thou shalt not, play cards, or thou shalt not go to R-rated movies, all kinds of different things that we kind of add on. And then on top of that, there's the thou shalt do's, you know, all the things we're supposed to do, and then the thou probably shouldn't, that make us kind of get close to the thou shalt not. So there's a long list of things we're supposed to avoid. And you really see this in the Pharisees' life, where they have the Ten Commandments and they start adding all these precepts on top of them to keep them from breaking the Ten Commandments in the first place. And it really develops this work-based theology. And that was kind of the way I grew up, thinking that God's love for me was based upon how good of a person I was. And I could talk about grace. I just assumed it was for everybody else. I just didn't think it was for me. And the thou shalt not kind of living gets us stuck in that conditional love kind of mindset. Now, the flip side of that is the never minds. That's where we look at the Bible and we see a bunch of ancient laws that no longer apply to us. And some don't, because there are some civil laws and there are some ceremonial laws we read about in the Old Testament. But the moral laws are still the same. And we begin to think that everything in there is for another time, another group of people, not for us. And since I'm saved by grace, then it's all good. And there's blessings abounding, and there's unconditional rewards for really doing nothing. And we just assume the Bible's full of a lot of ancient precepts, but we're holding on to grace, and that's all we need. Grace is all we need, but there's a partnership with God we're missing. And I think if we live somewhere in the thou shalts, or we live somewhere in the never minds, then we miss out on this wonderful experience we could have of applying all these great principles in the Bible where it clearly states, when we do X, then God will do Y, which is basically the premise for the book.
And we'll unpack that a little bit more in just a moment. We'll talk about the when-then principle and find out what that really means in a variety of ways in our lives and how we can apply God's word perhaps in more tangibly and more significantly in the days to come. I want to encourage you with our conversation today. We do have some copies of Rusty's book, too. It's brand new. Looking forward to passing that on to you. If you want to sign up, be part of the drawing for that, you call us and we'll put your name in for that. We always do a drawing at the end of the hour when we have some resources to give away. When you, then God. Seven things God is waiting to do in your life. It's from Rusty George. Rusty is a pastor at Real Life Church in Valencia, California. And you can join our conversation and sign up for the book at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. More in just a moment. I think kind of wrestle with how much is our responsibility, how much is God's responsibility, where is the balance, how do we understand that so that we're not trying to earn our salvation, but we're also not just expecting God to do everything. Maybe we'll get Rusty to talk a little bit about that verse in Philippians about working out our salvation. That's part of the book that Rusty has written called When You, Then God, Seven Things God is Waiting to Do in Your Life. Rusty George is a lead pastor of Real Life Church in Valencia, California, and he's been in the ministry for a number of years and looking forward to hearing more about the when-then principle. Because, Rusty, it seems like, we sort of touched on there, it could sort of easily go to this sort of works-based theology, but then there's that other side, kind of the prosperity gospel as well. So talk about when-then.
Right. Well, I think what where it really begins is in the Old Testament when you see God beginning to relate to his people. He's teaching them what this relationship will look like. In fact, the Ten Commandments is really more like a almost like a marriage ceremony of, here's what I expect of you and here's how we're going to be in relationship together. And then from there on, you see all of these things that God begins to share with them about, it even starts before the Ten Commandments where he says, if you put blood on the door, then I'll spare you. And then later, if you obey me, then I will bless you. And all the things he teaches, first of all, to Abraham and then eventually to Moses and to his people. He's setting the boundaries for how we're going to relate to each other. And if we're not careful, we just assume, well, that's just Old Testament and that no longer applies to us. But the principles are still true for us. And you see Jesus pick up on these and you see the Apostle Paul talk about them. And I really do believe it is that partnership of working out our salvation with God. It's a dance. And some of the words that are used there in the original language talk about that kind of ebb and flow of working back and forth together, where it is this relationship, it's this partnership, and we follow God's lead. And some of the things that I've just noticed in the Bible that keep coming up, that even Jesus talks about, is when we seek God, then we'll find him. It'd be great if we just found him without seeking, but though God loves us and God inspires in us to follow him, the truth is, this whole following process and seeing God involved in our lives requires some participation from us, the seeking part of things. Jesus talks about when we remain in him, then we bear fruit. The word remain seems like a very passive kind of thing, but it actually does require a little bit of effort on our part to stay focused and to listen to God and hear from God. And so some of the principles we walk through in the book are designed to show us these these conditional blessings that God has for us is waiting to do in our life. He's just waiting for us to kind of take the jump off the edge of the pool into the deep end where he'll catch us.
Mm-hmm. Which is such a good illustration, too, I think, because there is this whole element of trust, and it gets back to, you know, do we believe that God is ultimately loving and that he is good? And I know you address that, too, that he is at work in all things for those, for the good of those who love him. But, you know, we don't always see the good maybe in this side of eternity.
Right. You're exactly right. And I think that is the maturity that grows, that you grow to in your faith. And that's what I love about your program here, that talks to everyone about this growing relationship, about not just information, but transformation. I think that's one of the key transformations that happens for all of us, is we begin to see the bigger picture here. We begin to see that God is orchestrating a greater story, and my partnership with him sometimes will impact my life today, but sometimes it will impact lives later, and I may not even know the end of that story until the other side. And coming to faith in God and understanding that he's got a bigger thing going on here, and I just get to be a part of it.
Talking today with Rusty George about his book, When You, Then God, Seven Things God is Waiting to Do in Your Life. We do have some copies to give away, and you're welcome to sign up for that or join the conversation with a question or comment at 877-93-FAITH. One of the things that you address, you know, when you relax, God will guide you. I'm thinking, you know, we live in a world today that is pretty anxious, it seems. So how do we, shouldn't we be concerned about many things? Do we just sort of let go and let God?
Oh, that's a lot easier for some personalities than it is for certainly mine. But I think what God teaches us, and certainly Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, is this idea of, you know, we don't have any ability to control anything. And so why don't we just relax and trust God? Now, that doesn't mean that we, you know, stop working for God. Jesus talks about the birds, you know, and how they don't store up, but they continue to get up early. They work hard. They find food for themselves, which God provides. So there's this relationship that he's alluding to right there. And I think the journey for a lot of us with the whole, when we relax, then God will guide us, is coming to a place where we stop all of our efforts of trying to fix everything and correct everything and manipulate everybody to bring about our bidding, and simply just rest in God and see what he wants to do. A lot of studies have been done about the brain and how the ability to stop and do nothing for a period of time allows us to calm down and actually see even clearer. But God teaches us that principle, this idea of ceasing our worry and ceasing our stress in order to be able to sense where God is leading us next. But there is this partnership of us waiting and then us walking in the direction he leads us to.
Well, along with that, you address the idea of the concept of noticing God, which I guess we'd think, well, as followers of Christ, certainly it's more than noticing, right? But sometime we kind of miss that in our busy everyday lives.
Right. We get so consumed with our to-do lists and all the things we have to get done for the day, we forget to even notice the creation around us. And as you noticed on your time away, getting up into the mountains, the sheer beauty of God that he has laid out for us is certainly often overlooked. And what's interesting is the creation around us, though not to be worshipped, it tells us a lot about the Creator. And certainly speaks of his creative ability, but also his incredible imagination and the lack of limits that he has. And just noticing these things begins to give us a deeper appreciation for God. We read in Romans about where Paul talks about people that were given over to a depraved mind and Satan got the best of their minds. And it really started when they stopped noticing God and stopped saying thank you. And just that simple practice of maybe going for a walk, maybe noticing things God has made, maybe looking at your kids rather than seeing them as little people who aren't doing what they're supposed to do, but just looking into their eyes, seeing what God has created, and quietly saying thank you, begins to make us focus on the things that God has done and be able to see him a lot clearer. And when we begin to kind of take those little steps, it becomes a little bit clearer focus for us. I think about that analogy or imagery we see in that one of those Indiana Jones movies. I believe it's the third one now, as they're searching for the Holy Grail. And Indiana Jones has to kind of basically step out onto that or over that great divide. He can't see the bridge, but he has to take a step. And once he does, then he sees the bridge and he's able to take the path. I think that step for us is beginning to notice God's work in our life. Then we begin to see him everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Talking today with Rusty George about his book, When You, Then God. One of the principles you talk about, we maybe across the upper Midwest, at least at this time of year, understand about sowing and reaping, that, you don't get a harvest if you don't plant some seed. But that seems like that has sort of been misused as well in church, in theology. So talk about sowing and reaping and how that's not necessarily prosperity gospel we're talking about.
Yeah, I think the prosperity gospel kind of zeroes in on one type of blessing, which is financial. Sometimes health, but oftentimes just financial. And the principle of sowing and reaping, first of all, is not always instantaneous. As we know, I come from the Midwest as well, the planting process happens and then we wait. I always believe that farmers are much closer to God than the rest of us because they have to trust in him a whole lot more than many of us do. But what we see in the sowing and reaping process is there's the throwing out of the seed, and then there's the waiting. And it really starts with how much seed do you want to throw out? And I think when it comes to the process of, seeing God evident in your life through blessing, it's not always financial, but there is certainly an element when we do trust him with our finances. He begins to invest in us, bless us in ways that we would have never seen before. It makes us a little bit more attuned to what he's doing in our finances because now we've put a little bit of money into the investment of God. It's a little bit like if you begin to invest in Apple, then you're going to watch Apple stock. Well, when you begin to invest in God's kingdom through your local church, you begin to watch what they do with that money, how it's used. You begin to watch how God is, showing up to make ends meet or doing various things in your life, blessing you in certain ways. And I've just seen that principle so true in our people's lives around here. As we begin this principle of tithing, we just start seeing people be blessed in a variety of ways. Sometimes it's with money. Sometimes it's with jobs. But oftentimes it's with contentment. Oftentimes it's with knowing they're investing in eternity, something that will live beyond them. Oftentimes it's the ability for them to stop fighting about money in their home because they know they've involved God in their finances. And that's just from the perspective of sowing finances. I think there's other principles, too, of sowing our faith and sharing that with other people. The Bible says that his word will never return void, and I think we begin to see the fruit of that when we begin to lead people into God's presence, and he begins to show them grace and us that fruit.
Talking today with Rusty George about his new book, When You, Then God, 7 Things God is Waiting to Do in Your Life. We've got a few more we want to get to here on the other side of this break, and before our time is gone with Rusty. Love to have you sign up for a copy of the book or join us with a question or comment at 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number. Rusty George is lead pastor of Real Life Church in Valencia, California. And the conversation we're having is about the when-then principle, important truth of applying God's word day by day and seeing what God does as a result. Stand by for more with Rusty George just ahead.
If you want to bear fruit, come on. You've got to move. Get up and get grooving. If you know the truth, don't miss your chance. Come on, dance and choose. If you want to bear fruit, then you got to move.
I like it. We're talking partnership here. When you, then God. It's an important principle, biblical principle. You find it throughout the scriptures that God is waiting to do some things in your life. It was Oswald Chambers, I remember, saying, God won't do, we can't do what God does, but God won't do what we can do. And we're kind of getting that fleshed out in a wonderful new book from Rusty George called When You, Then God, 7 Things God is Waiting to Do in Your Life. Rusty is a pastor at the Real Life Church, lead pastor at Real Life Church in Valencia, California, and has authored this book that offers some important principles, the when-then principles. The one I want to have you touch on a little bit, Rusty, is when you show kindness to others, then God will show them grace. Say more about what you mean by that.
Well, there's this great story where these guys want to bring their their friend to Jesus because he can't walk, and they have to bust in through the roof and lower him down. And Jesus starts off by forgiving this guy's sins. What's interesting is this guy makes no declaration of faith. He doesn't do any great deeds. He's just simply there because of the kindness of his friends. And Jesus starts off by forgiving him, then eventually heals him. I love that imagery there because I think that's so true for our relationship with people as well, and us just bringing them into the presence of God by our kindness. I think it was in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus talks about, you know, when we do our good works, then others will glorify God because they see our good deeds. And by our kindness, we basically begin to lead people into repentance. It's Paul who says in Romans that it's the kindness of God that leads us all to repentance. So it would make sense that it's our kindness that leads people to Jesus as well, which leads them into grace. What I've noticed is in my own personal journey with this, I can easily become a critic of people's actions. I can become judgmental about what they're not doing. I can look at people who are far from God and kind of turn my head and say, well, I'm glad I'm not like that, like the Pharisee did to the tax collector. But when I stop and I show kindness to them, it opens up a conversation, even builds a friendship, and allows me to share Jesus with them. I think it was Rick Warren who said, I've never led an enemy to Christ, only a friend, which tells us that our attempts sometimes to transform the world via our theology bombs we launch on Facebook and other social media platforms, or our condemning or critical comments that we make towards people or about people who we hope will one day listen, doesn't really give us the kind of traction we're looking for. But when we are kind to others, it puts them in a position to hear the good news, and God shows them grace.
We so need that today. In this contentious world we live in, we also live in a world that doesn't always seem like there's a lot of hope. And you talk about that as well, that when we place our hope in God, then God gives us hope. And give us some hope today, Rusty, in that area.
Well, I think we have to remember that this is a much bigger thing than just what we see. I heard the analogy recently of if you watch 15 minutes of the Star Wars movies, it would be a little bit shallow of you to begin to make predictions or tell George Lucas where he should go next if you've only seen 15 minutes of the 13 hours. And I think that in our case, we only see but a glimpse, as Paul refers to. We only see what's going on right now. We don't recognize the huge story God is unfolding that's begun from the beginning of time. We play a very small piece in that. But God has such great things he wants to do in us and through us, some of which we see in our lifetime, some of which we will not. I tell a story in the book about a friend of mine who was a part of our church that was so instrumental in helping us get out of the movie theater and into a building, and he never got to worship in the building because he died before we moved in. But the amount of people that came to Christ and now are worshiping in that building because of this guy's testimony, the life that he led, would be a far greater gift to him than had he been able to be alive long enough to be in that building. He would have never seen that ahead of time, but we get to see that. And now he gets to see that from the other side. But the hope that we have is that our partnership with God makes a lasting impression that doesn't just last in this life, but in the life to come.
Invitation to partner with God in working for God to accomplish all that he wants to in our lives, and the Freshwood experiences blessings. One of the ways the concluding chapter we want to touch on before our time is gone, Rusty, has to do with a well-known story that we've all read many times, and I know you've talked about it, about the wise man and the foolish man, and just to set up how we need to move beyond just taking part of that verse.
Yeah, I love that story because Jesus tells the story of the two guys that build their houses, one on the rock and one on the sand. And then he kind of narrows it down and he says, for everybody who hears the word of God and puts it into practice, you're like the guy that built your house on the rock, and it's an unshakable kind of life. And I think the part we miss there is it's not just hearing the word of God, but it's doing the word of God. It's putting it into practice. Now, I can speak as a guy who grew up in the church, who went to Bible college, who went to seminary, who studies the Bible all the time, and I can just tell you, I've never grown more in my faith than when I have to share it with somebody else, have to explain it to somebody over a cup of coffee, I have to serve somebody in a soup kitchen, bless my neighbor, help out people around me, tolerate people who annoy me, forgive those who have wronged me. When you put it into practice, that's when you really see the accelerated growth. My fear for many of us is as we become consumers of biblical knowledge, we become critics of churches, we church shop constantly, but we've yet to actually be the church that really puts it into practice and begins to live it out. And when we do that, not only do we build an unshakable life, but we begin to see God's word and his kingdom advance.
Is there a way that we can sort of gauge, I guess, how we're doing, determine if we're getting better at the when-then cycle? Is there maybe just lag time in terms of when God prompts us to do something? Or what should we look for in terms of evaluating?
I think, you know, what begins to transform in your life is your heart. You begin to care for the things that God cares for. You begin to weep over the things that God weeps over. We see images of Jesus doing that several times in the scriptures. I think the indicators that you're following him in that partnership is you have a tremendous amount of joy in your relationship with God, that you feel content in his love for you. You're not living in the thou shalts. You're not living in the never minds. You're living in that partnership. And I think that's the sweet spot you begin to find. And I would just tell you from personal experience, it doesn't last forever because our tendency is to drift out of that. And it becomes this constant work you do, much like exercise, of putting yourself back into that position to partner with God and see the fruit of that and enjoy it for what it is.
When you, then God. Seven things God is waiting to do in your life. You want to grow in your faith and just be refreshed and encouraged. And maybe find some rest. You'll want to pick up a copy of Rusty George's new book called When You, Then God. Rusty George, lead pastor of Real Life Church in Valencia, California, kind enough to join us for a bit today. And we are appreciative, Rusty, of the good work that you've done there. And thanks for challenging us a bit to walk in obedience and in blessing.
Well, thank you so much, Neil. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
Rusty George joining us today here on Connecting Faith. The book is called When You, Then God. We've got some copies you can sign up for. We'll do a drawing at the end of the hour at 877-933-2484. Coming up in the next few minutes, we're going to take about 15 minutes or so and open up the phone lines for you to offer some advice. You've heard some good insight today, some good teaching and conversation, but I want to hear from you what advice you would give to a graduate if you had the opportunity to just advise them, maybe a word of counsel, say, here's one thing that you shouldn't forget. Let us know what that would be. And I'm sure just maybe a word or two that I've heard along the way. Maybe someone has told you what was the best piece of advice you received. But thinking about particularly graduates, you know, it's that time of year, and you have an opportunity to maybe just say a brief word in somebody's life. What would it be? Give us a call. We've got a great drawing we're going to give away here, and we'll tell you about that on the other side of this quick little break. But queue up right now if you got an idea, a thought, a word of advice, 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH.
Defy a life. Following Christ has meant focusing on three specific areas of his life. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas, and Jafia tells us how doing this has changed his relationship with God.
One thing that God showed me when I transitioned out of a lifestyle of sin, it was really that I needed to focus on people, places, and things. The people that I hang around, the things that I do, and the places that I go.
Jafia says that God provided opportunities for him to grow in those very areas of his life.
Once you make a decision to follow God, it's like a domino effect. It really is, because he'll put people in your life to help guide you and walk you to the next step. You know, I remember people being put in my life that I could decide to walk with into a new life.
Now that is a great illustration of how God guides us when we choose to follow him. For more encouragement in your walk with God, go to makingyourlifecount.com.
God has put people in our lives along our journey from time to time to help guide our steps, to point us in the right direction. And we want to get some of those good insights from you today. We're taking your calls here at 877-933-2484. Just want to get your name and a word of comment, that some advice that you would give to someone who is maybe just graduating or a new transition in life. By the way, if you join us here in the conversation, we're going to put you in for a drawing. I've got a copy of the Apologetic Study Bible for Students. This was produced by Sean McDonald, along with Greg Steer and some others. But Sean, the primary editor of this, which is really a wonderful resource, and you may have a graduate, somebody that you know you could give that to, or someone you know in your family that could benefit from this Apologetic Study Bible for Students. Really answers some of the questions that students are facing today. So give us a call, 877-933-2484, and we'll just take as many calls as we can here in the moments ahead. You tell us, you know, what word of advice would you give to someone that's moving into a transition period? And, you know, Ted, do you think of anything that maybe someone said to you that really impacted you?
You know, I'm trying to think of a specific person back to high school, way back to high school mm-hmm. or college. And, you know, it was just the keep your eyes on God kind of a thing. Don't forget your faith, yeah. Which, of course, has made an impact eternally for me.
Sure.
Yeah. And going forward as well. And actually having somebody take the time to pray with me one-on-one, too, mm-hmm. that just meant the world to have that care come around you, yeah. you know, and I had not had to experience that very much in my life, the one-on-one prayer thing. So, yeah, that makes an impact.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. and those things you remember. Let's take an anonymous call on line one just to start us out. Hi, you're on with us. What would you advise someone that is maybe graduating?
Am I on
yes,
now?
Right, yes. Go ahead.
For my graduation gift to people, I say pick a favorite Bible verse that'll do you when you're up, you're down, you're in between, you feel lost and you want to give up. And my favorite is Psalm 139 because it not only tells you how much God loves you, but how he planned for you before you were born, how he watched over you in your mother's womb, how he has your days numbered, how many times he thinks of you more than there are grains of sand. And he's always with you. You're never alone, no matter how bad it gets. You've got Christ. Hmm. And that's the best thing for anybody. But for kids that graduating, it would be great if they would go to that whenever, every day, actually, if they'd put it into their devotions every day.
Wouldn't that be great? Wow, that is, thank you, friend, for that good word, because that really reminds us that that psalm is so full of great riches about who we are and how God's intimately involved in our lives from the very beginning to the very end. And that could make such a difference today, especially for a young person just stepping out in the, you know, fearful future. And you know, we don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know who holds the future. So thanks for that. Looking for your advice on what would you give to a college graduate or someone who is just maybe moving into a transition period. We'll take a quick break and come back and take your calls, 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. And I just want to encourage you to call and share something with us here, and we'll put you in for a drawing for the Apologetic Study Bible for Students. It's edited, primary editor Sean McDowell, Josh McDowell's son, and it is a great resource. It's also about a 5-pound book, but we'll mail it to you anyway. You'll appreciate that. I'd love to just hear what advice maybe have you received if you look back and remember, or what you would one thing you'd like to just tell a graduate here this week. More on that coming up here on Connecting Faith. Stay tuned. That God brings people into our lives that can advise us, encourage us, maybe make a difference in the direction of our lives, where we're going. And we're asking you to share maybe a piece of advice that you would love to give to a graduate, or maybe have, or something that you received from someone that encouraged you, mentored you along the way. David's on line three. David, thanks for calling. What's your word of advice?
Well, like the Bible says, do things wholeheartedly. Be fully engaged. Be fully connected to whatever you're doing, because you never know when you or the other person, the people you're working with, are going to leave this stage. And may all of life be dear, whether it's the dreary or the delightful. Because we're here, each one of us is here, and we're each a wonder, a mystery, and something awful that God has created. And there's only one each of us, brother.
That's very good. We're awful in the best sense of the word. David, that's a good word for us. Thanks so much for your call today. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Ed. Ed's in line two. Ed, what's your you have a word of advice you'd give to a student today?
Sure. I think graduates are looking for success and happiness, and nobody wants to embrace pain. But I think pain is an excellent teacher. And I heard this acronym for FAITH, Finding Answers in Traumatic Heartbreak. I think pain is an excellent teacher in utilizing faith to embrace pain will be like a lighthouse to every graduate in their life.
Yeah, we're all going to encounter it at some point. Right? Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble, so we can expect it. So tell me the acronym again. Let's review that for us.
It's FAITH. The word FAITH, the acronym is Finding Answers in Traumatic Heartbreak.
Good word. Ed, thank you for sharing that and for giving us a little perspective today. Appreciate your call.
You got it.
You can join with us. We've got time for another call or five or so. We'll just get as many as we can in at 877-933-2484. Just looking for maybe a word of advice that you would give to a graduating student today, and or maybe someone that spoke a good word to your life some years ago.
You know, yesterday, Neil, at our church, the youth pastor gave the sermon, and he looked to 2 Timothy 2 and spoke on that passage. I'll just read it quick here. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And he used the analogy of the baton relay race in the Olympics coming up and such, and pass the baton was the theme. So he talked about this passage and how we can be witnesses and we pass the baton of faith on to the younger generation. And he was speaking to graduating seniors yesterday and confirmants as well. And just that idea of passing the baton, and it drops sometimes, but then you don't just get out of the race right there. You can pick it up and keep running the race. He looked at track and field rules and everything. And it was just a good, really good message, really good analogy of being Christians and passing the faith down to younger people, and for the younger people to own their own faith and to then, in turn, follow Paul's example and share their faith with others just the way they live.
Yeah.
In their life. So, yeah, that's a good passage to look up today, 2 Timothy 2.
2 Timothy 2, too. That's an important principle, right? What we have learned, we need to pass on to others so that they, in turn, can pass on. And that's how the faith goes and grows. Love to hear from you. If you have a word of advice or something that you've heard, maybe someone invested in your life or the right word at the right time, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. If you can get in with your call here, or maybe you want to drop something online, you can do that. Go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. You can just use that and send a note that way. But we do have a copy of the Apologetic Study Bible for Students that we'll give away here at the top of the hour just for your call here today at 877-93-FAITH. It's edited by Sean McDowell, I should say, and others, but addressing important issues. You know, why does God allow evil? You know, what does the Bible have to say about cloning? What does the Bible have to say about same-sex marriage? What's the big deal there? Are there contradictions in the Bible? How do I choose my faith? What's the New Age movement? How do I grow spiritually? Does God want me to be rich? Some of those important questions that the students are going to be confronted with.
My oldest daughter actually has this Bible, and I'm grateful that she I saw it sitting out on her nightstand. Yeah. You know, and I was grateful to see it there because I gave it to her some years ago, and it sat on the shelf a little bit. But, yeah, those sidebars are so helpful because all these issues keep coming at our students, and they can turn to Scripture. They point to Scripture on those issues, and it's just a wonderful resource.
Well, we're thinking about, you know, maybe transitioning from high school to college, or maybe college to, you know, a career, whatever that might be, or something in between. I remember hearing a quote, something to the effect, I think maybe attributed to Teddy Roosevelt, but you know, knowledge of the Bible without a college education is more valuable than a college education without a knowledge of the Bible. And when it comes to living life to the fullest as God designed, we want to know and understand God's Word, which is what we're passionate about here every day on Faith Radio. So we're just looking for your good advice. I was thinking, Ted, just for my life, hearing when I was young, had gone to a vo-tech school, actually, for a radio certificate, and was doing that part-time and had to pick up another job, and so working in a furniture store. And the owner, who was great believer and had done a lot of invested a lot in Young Life and other ministries in his community, he just said, you know, he kind of pulled me aside one day. He said, I could train you to be a salesperson, or you could, you know, get into this career. He said, but you've got more potential than that. You ought to, you know, pursue college. And he knew about the Northwestern, and it was a good word, the right word at the right time for me, just to encourage me to move on in my faith. And you know, you may have had somebody like that as well that has made a difference in your life, has said the right word at the right time. And I think, you know, in light of the passing of Muhammad Ali, I was hung on to his advice. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Yeah. Stay in college, get the knowledge, stay there till you're through. If they can make penicillin out of moldy bread, they can make something out of you. So that's kind of what encouraged me. So.
It's good and timely, yes.
All right, well, we'd love to hear. We've got maybe time for a quick call at 877-933-2484. I'd love to know if you have a good word for us today that you'd like to pass on to a graduate, to someone that you know and care about. And, of course, you can sign up for the Apologetic Study Bible. We'll do that drawing here in just a couple of minutes.
Of course, some college students are hanging on to the other probably not so good advice that says, don't give up on your dreams. Keep on sleeping.
Sure. Yes. Not the best idea.
No. You know, don't want to sleep, though.
Tomorrow, we're going to spend some time with Michael Horton. And Michael, we've had him on several times here in the program, gifted communicator and a great writer. And he's going to talk to us about the core beliefs of our faith. And we spent some time today about how we partner with God. It's not just about information, it's about transformation. Well, tomorrow we'll kind of go back to review what it is that we believe, because as you know, many in our nation, in our world, kind of believe a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and not all of it makes a lot of sense. So we're going to talk core Christianity tomorrow with Michael Horton. I encourage you to be a part of that. And then Wednesday, we've got Fuad Masri will be with us. Ramadan begins tonight at sunset. Fuad has been sharing the gospel winsomely and effectively with the Muslims, and will teach us how to do that and give us some great insights. So we got a great week ahead here in Connecting Faith, and hope that you will make a point to be listening in regularly. Of course, don't forget about our partnership with Far East Broadcasting this month as well.
Yeah, we're doing this through July 3rd, an opportunity for you to partner with this great broadcast ministry that develops and delivers programs to listeners all around the world, introducing them to Jesus Christ, and it's an opportunity for the unreached people groups of the world to know and follow Christ. So check out the information at myfaithradio.com.
And be a part of, you know, giving and supporting for this outreach. Every $30 you give provides one radio, and every radio give us the power to reach 25 people with the gospel. These are going, some of these are fixed-tune radios. These are hand-delivered to places where radios literally aren't available. The gospel is available through radio, through FEBC, but no one can hear it if they don't have a radio. So it's a great outreach, and we're looking forward to seeing some wonderful response this month. So check that out online, myfaithradio.com.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks for letting me talk a little.
Oh, yeah. Welcome. We just want to get reacquainted here.
Yeah, right.
You've been
gone
for a while. So thanks to Bill Arner for filling in as well. Thank you for listening. If you missed part of the show today, you can always check it out on our show page.